You tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we will talk with Cubs manager David Ross. We'll talk more about the NFL draft as well. And we'll see what's up with the White Sox. So that'll be good, right? Parkins and Spiegel, they're back together. Danny's a new papa again. But he's back now. And so the mob has been reunited. And they are now here with you on The Score. Hello, men.
What's up, Lawrence? Good to be back, man.
Speaks. Congratulations. Hello. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. The vasectomy is scheduled for the consultation tomorrow.
I was waiting on, and you said it underneath Lawrence talking, one of my favorite things. Is the Danny Parkins Speaks. How you doing after we've been talking for like 2 hours and we're here at the beginning of the show?
I haven't talked to Lawrence.
I know.
Hello, Speaks.
No,
yes, but we've been here
I love
for a while.
I love it. We are back. Yes, vasectomy consultation tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Live on the air.
We'll see what they're willing to do, you know, for a price. I might be willing to do anything. But yeah, no, thank you for your congratulations. It's very, very exciting. Little bit sleep deprived, and I think work is vacation now, Lawrence. That's what I've determined. That you know what I mean. It's like it's great, it's amazing, but I was waking up every 3 hours for the feeds with Steph overnight. You know,
right? And for me, it's only like every 4 hours. You got to wake up and make sure I get fed.
True, but it was but then last night it was like, all right. I'm going back to work tomorrow, so got to be rested, even though the show starts at 2 p.m. So, you know, I do like the 11 o'clock feed, and then she handles, 2 and 5 a.m. Then I get up with Owen and, back in that routine. So it's good. It's good. It's a healthy amount of chaos. It's the chaos we signed up for. And it's a beautiful thing. Owen's got a brother, man. It's amazing.
Owen's got a brother, and now you guys are in the man-to-man. No longer the zone of the two-on-one. You're in the man-to-man, which means I think you already have ended up with the toddler a lot of times. Oh. You and Owen are going to forge a bond like crazy.
He already was like pretty obsessed with dad. Like he had been in a dad-f phase, but I think it was because also tied to pregnancy because like I was just able to roughhouse with him more and just do, like sure. Do little the boy activities and then now with mom having to feed Eli and do all that stuff, mm-hmm. Lots of time with the toddler. This one didn't go over so well. I said, Steph, I actually have the harder job right now.
Oh God.
Because
dealing with Owen as
because Elijah, he came a few weeks early, so he's sleeping a lot, and you just gotta, wake him up to feed him every 3 hours, and then you feed him, you change his diaper, you burp him, and then he goes right back to sleep. Whereas Owen is like jumping off the back of couches,
sure.
He can like unbuckle himself from his booster seat, and he stands up on the table.
Yeah, no, Danny, the truth is kind of immaterial here, frankly.
Okay.
It's just,
It was the choice of your truth.
Yes, it was right. the choice of when to share and who to share that with.
That was the problem.
Share it here in a safe place with your boys.
Okay.
Don't share it on the air though.
Oh, right. Like, people do listen.
She's too busy to listen. She's too busy.
She's too busy to listen, but that doesn't mean other people are too busy to listen.
A lot
to tell
of snitches
her.
Out there in the audience.
All right, sure.
There's a ton of snitches.
It's true.
Share it in the pre-show meeting then?
Yes, that's the only, Danny, that is the only place where you can share that.
Yeah.
In that weird office that you guys have, that's the only time that you get to share that thought.
It is a weird office, by the way. We run the four corners in there.
It's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people like, texter says, hey, it's a bad idea to be keeping score, Park. It's that's not what I'm doing. It was just an observation. A little bit. And hey, we talk about that. It's true. You do not want to keep score in a relationship. So we both
or a radio show.
Right.
Don't want to keep score in a radio show. Unless it's part of the show itself.
Right. We have a. Where is the scoreboard for who asked better questions during the interviews? I haven't seen that.
Whose point was better mapped out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a dry erase board. You could,
Molly and Hall put their guests on the dry erase board.
You could just tally it up, right?
Yeah.
Who won the segment?
But that's the downfall of discourse. I blame Pardon the Interruption myself.
Around the Horn.
That's the one I blame.
The show that scores the argument.
It was
a thought I had. It was a thought that I believe is backed with logic, but it was a thought that I should not have shared. I was 2 for 3. So, you know, it is what it is. It's good to be back.
In response to the texter who brings this up, that's indeed what Christine and I wrote on our card for the flowers, is that it's we need to get going because Parkins versus Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
Oh, yeah, we outnumber you.
That's 3-on-2 now for the football pick segment, because one assumes young Eli will be ready to make picks by week 1.
I told you how
to
fix this.
How did we fix it?
No, you got to bring in Dad.
Oh, that's right.
Herb.
You did, Lawrence. That was an excellent suggestion.
That is a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can promise you that the Parkins team is capped at 3.
He's gonna make a point of that, and in fact, an appointment tomorrow to make sure that it's capped at 3.
However you want to fill out your 3. My 3 are on the floor, okay?
My team is on the floor.
Yeah,
and how about Owen? Or how about Omar? Is he still with us? The dog.
Omar the dog is still with us. Thank you, Mitch, for your sensitivity on that. Yes, Omar is still with us, and I would say thriving, but he's furious. he can't believe we did it to him again.
He's on the pay no mind list.
Oh, he hates
And he knows.
Us.
Yeah. He knows. He's like, oh, I totally remember this. Why would you do this?
Why did you do this to us again?
What kind of dog is Omar?
He's a mutt. Like he's got some terrier in him. We think some corgi in him. We've never done like the 23andMe thing for dogs, but we got it from a shelter. Like, I don't know what he is.
Do they do 23andMe for dogs? They do something
like
it.
They do something like it. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
God, it was the most disappointing thing ever at my house when I got my results for 23andMe. 100% Ashkenazi Jew. Good night, everybody.
I think that's awesome, though.
You wanted some mystery?
Yeah.
15% sure. Nigerian.
Yes, give me a little something.
You thought maybe you were connected to some things. You're like, oh, it's got to be
That's
genetic.
Right. Yeah. Boy, I feel soulful. You know, I don't know. But
I feel like I've got the rhythm in me.
Boy, I like dumplings so much. I got to be at least part Chinese.
Yeah, that's how it works, I think.
Yeah.
So you were disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
I don't want to do it.
The wife was disappointed. She was bummed at like the $95 expenditure. Like, what are we doing?
To find out what you already know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Danny, do you not want to do it because of crime? Is that what it is? That you don't want your DNA out there because of crime?
It's all of it, Lawrence. I'm afraid of what people will find out about me, and I'm afraid of what I'll find out about myself. Like, I'm happy with like the blissful ignorance of the entire enterprise. Because like, what if you go down a rabbit hole? Like, you try to start like chasing the whole lineage. I don't know. It's just more questions than I have time to answer.
Well, and now I get messages like that I have new DNA relatives.
See, that's what I'm not interested in. I don't want to find out that, you know, Papa was doing something when he shouldn't have been doing something way back in the day. Like, I'm not interested in any of
that. That's why we made that all-star game trip to Cleveland.
Yeah, I am not interested.
Papa was a rolling stone.
Any of the follow-up emails from 23andMe. Have you done it, Lawrence?
No, it's weird because, you know, like, you kind of know where the black families where a lot of it ends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you've ever watched The Finding Your Roots, which I think is an incredible show.
With Henry Louis Gates.
Henry Louis Gates.
It's brilliant.
You kind of always know a little bit how the story is. Now, obviously, like being a light-skinned black person, there's clearly like white people in my lineage. And from the work that's already been done, there's clearly like Native American in my lineage. But I'm still stuck. Like, there's a part of me that the historian in me for sure wants to know. Like, because I was joking with Speaks. There's a lot of stuff that's like, oh, I wonder if the reason that I'm like this is because I'm this. Or, like, what are the connections?
Sure.
But then I'm like, there's a data breach aspect to it that's uncomfortable. And
yeah.
All of that stuff and the stuff that I think Danny is rightfully going, I don't know. know if I want all of my information out there like that.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you guys are reminding me of just a movie that I love. You ever see Defending Your Life, the Albert Brooks movie with Meryl Streep? Oh, it's so great, man. But like, yeah, so he dies and he's got to defend whether his life had any merit. And if it doesn't, then he has to go back and do it again. If he wins the trial, then he gets to move on to theoretically heaven. But while they're in limbo there, they go to the Past Lives Pavilion, where you can see like you can see visualizations of the past lives you lived because everybody's been reincarnated a bunch of times. So you can all watch yourselves in your past lives. And Shirley MacLaine is, of course, the host at the Past Lives Pavilion. But it's just so brilliant. Such a good movie. That was my story.
Texas says that they found out that their father wasn't their real father by doing one of those.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. I know I'm Jewish. I know I married a German. That's interesting enough. We can stop there.
That's plenty.
That's plenty. I don't need to. I know my dad has changed religion twice for both marriages. Like I'm good on getting too deep into the weeds on any decisions that anyone else made. I'm fine.
I feel this way, Danny. I understand anyone's draw to do it.
Sure.
And I completely understand someone being like, nope. Y'all ain't getting my DNA up in the system.
Yeah, it's a personal choice. That is a very personal choice.
Can I tell you guys a story?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure.
So I get a text from Shane on Saturday. Like, I'm sitting there, like, doing some stuff. And he's like, hey, I got an extra. Do you want to come to the White Sox game? And I'm sure that Shane went through his whole Rolodex and was like, oh, well, Lawrence lives 3 miles from the ballpark. He's the most likely to get here. Let me offer him a ticket. So I said, yeah, I was shocked that they were going to play on Saturday. But yeah, I love to come and hang out with you and Tanny and Layla and the morning mess people.
Editor's note, Shane already reported that he had a terrific time with you at the ball
game. I like Shane. Like, I really enjoy him and like being his teammate. Like, I feel like I get a little bit more of like who he is.
Let us know what that's like.
I just love
the surprise in your voice when you said I really like Shane. Like, he was like shocked at the revelation.
The reason that I say it that way is because Shane, I feel like now that I've traveled with Shane and now that I've been a teammate of Shane, I understand a little bit of the duality that he's going through in trying to figure out who's Shane and who's Shane on air. And so I think that I have a good sense of that. And I was talking to my friend Shane on Saturday, and we had a good time. The thing that was crazy is he is a bona fide celebrity at these games.
Yeah.
I am not kidding you. We were sitting there. The chefs, the White Sox chefs, came down the aisle to just meet him. I'm not kidding.
Like,
they were in their aprons, and they were like, "We heard you were here. We just wanted to meet you."
Kiss the ring, man. He's awesome.
It was great. But Danny, it doesn't stop there. So the chefs come down, and they say hello. And when they did that, there was a group of women who were sitting in front of us. That once they realized it was Shane, they turned around and started talking to him. Like, oh my God, I love your recipes. Like, you're awesome on Twitter, blah, 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 blah.
He's the man. I like Shane on air and off air.
It was crazy, Danny, because like they were trying to take a picture and they were doing like a selfie thing. So they were leaning all the way back like towards us. So I took the picture. It's literally me and Layla sitting there. And they couldn't wait to get back to having a conversation with Shane.
Hey, man,
it was awesome.
Meat matters. Meat just absolutely matters. And
Way to phrase it.
Well, I think
he's out there slinging his meat, phrasing? And people seem to like it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, well, key to a woman's heart, right? Through his stomach, right? Or I guess that's about a man, but it doesn't matter. The guy's a good cook. He's funny. He's young. He's available. The DMs are open. He's hanging out. You like that?
I do, because it didn't have to be about a woman, but you were clearly uncomfortable with my meat matters.
Yeah.
So then you tried to make it better, but you made it worse.
I might have made it worse. Man, we really pick up right where we left off.
Right where we left off, baby.
Yes-anding each other right into a corner. But yeah, I mean, like, we had a blast at the tailgate. He brought out the Blackstone flat top, and just having a great time. So many people coming through, and yeah, man, he's a celebrity about these parts.
That's awesome. And then, did you guys have a good time at the game as a collective on Saturday?
It was really fun. Like, you know, I adore Tanny, and I love Layla, so being able to just, like, talk ball with them was a lot of fun. And they got Shane even said to me, he's like, I think they're going to get like 5 innings in before the rain comes. And he was right on the money.
5 2/3, right?
Yeah. And when the rain hit, like, that's when we bounced. Like, I bounced Tanny, Layla, and it was good. Like, it was a good time. And then the funniest part to me is that we had been joking that we were sitting below the box that Rick Hahn is in, and that we were going to get him to come and sit with us. Then Layla and I left, and since I had my badge, I was able to take the Batcave out of 35th and Shields, and we literally ran into Rick on the stairs.
There you go.
In a good mood?
Good enough for seeing me, yeah. I thought that it was very professional and it was fine.
Good.
It was totally fine.
Well, at that moment, if it was during the rain delay, he's got to be pleased that Vince Velasquez was pitching that way, you know?
Man, to see Vince Velasquez strike out Trout and Ohtani back-to-back, it's pretty great.
Yeah, but there's one really good component on that pitching staff, and on the coaching staff, excuse me, and he's done some good work with Vince Velasquez, and that's Ethan Katz. They got a thing. But that moment when that game ended there before the rain delay with Trout and Velasquez not wanting to leave the field in the middle of the pouring rain was just, it was so, like, innocent and beautiful, wasn't it?
Let's play this game in the rain.
We would rather just keep playing, thank you. Yeah. And it's like, and sometimes, like, when you're already that soaking wet, you know, you remember that feeling as a kid, and we don't really get it much as adults, but, like, if you're already soaking wet, what the hell's the difference? Like, all right, still raining. Let's go.
Well, as a kid, that's a thing. But as a professional, they could just throw their uniforms in the dryer and
someone else takes care of it.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't want to stop from facing off against each other. That's what was so cool. Is like, and MLB.com and every place made it all about Trout. Look what a gamer Trout is. But it was about the two of them. Just like, I know you got me here. It's a 2-2 count. Come on, let's see what happens here. It was nice stuff.
You think they're going to win the division still, Lawrence?
I'm uncomfortable with where things stand with the White Sox right now.
Well, yes, I hope so.
To me, you can't just throw away a month. Like, you can throw away a week. You can throw away a couple of series. I don't know if you can throw away a month, and they've thrown away a month. I expect, and I was talking to some people yesterday over there, perturbed is not the right word, but they are bothered by the fact that they don't go to a dome or a warm weather city until the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really bothers them.
Oh, stop.
But they think that it plays into part of the reason that the offense has looked the way that it has. And I understand those feelings. Like, you have a team that seems to be better when the weather is warm. But some of that stuff is you don't pitch well. You don't defend. You average an error a game. So that stuff isn't on the cold. That's an issue of concentration and whatnot.
Yeah, no, they've got to mash the ball to win. They got to hit the ball out of the park to win. The good news is they are hitting the ball very hard, and you can look at all the different contact numbers and expected stats and stuff like that to see that. So they probably will mash the ball. But there's nothing that shows me that they have advanced in any of the ways that were painfully obvious in a playoff series against a real-ass team and organization in the Astros. Right? There's, even if they get healthy and they mash the ball to 90, 91 wins and they win that division, which is entirely possible, and I might even bet on it right now, I still don't have any reason to have faith that they're going to position better, that they will game plan better, that they will sequence better, and that they'll play a good, clean brand of baseball come playoff time. Why would we believe that?
And Speaks, you and I were talking about this last week, where you look at the rest of the division and you go, oh, every team is just a little bit better.
Everybody's trying.
And so because of that, you lose your wins off the win total by maybe it's 2 to Minnesota that you lose it, and 1 from Kansas City, and 1 from Cleveland, and 1 from Detroit. And that makes you running away with a division like a tight division race. To wake up this morning and see the White Sox 4.5 games out of first place was like jarring. But it also makes sense for the way that they've played.
Yeah, I think I would still bet on them to win it and just bet on health, guys playing to the back of their baseball card. You know, you got to make up a game a month, basically, on that 4.5 months, right? Like, if you are going to throw away a month, the month to throw away is the first one. I know they all count equal in the standings, but at least now you know where you're at and you can set it that way. But the pressing at the plate and the bad defense is just, and then combined with bad luck and combined with health,
and combined with Dallas Keuchel pitching every 5 days.
Yeah, which won't happen much longer, but is not going to end today, given the other injuries.
If Velasquez keeps going like this, when Cueto comes back, I mean, you got one choice to make as far as Dallas goes.
Yeah, but once that happens, I heard Bernsie say, you know, it's got to be today or that's got to be his last start.
Nah.
I don't think that's happening, but it's soon. You know, he's certainly not finishing the season in the rotation.
If Cueto and Lynn are both healthy and in a month, there's no way that Dallas Keuchel ought to be in your rotation.
Right, I agree. I know it's not funny, but just for the expression, it's been like a comedy of errors, like the number of things that have gone wrong all at once for that team. I just can't imagine that will sustain itself over 162. So I think I'd still bet on them and bet on the talent. But it is a truly shocking way to start a season. Like, no one saw this coming at all.
Nope.
You know, like, uncomfortable is probably the right word for where they're at.
We got a lot to catch up on, mister.
We do, and I am.
That's nice. That felt nice, you saying that, Steve.
It's true. That's my guy who I talk to about sports things.
Lawrence, how you said you were like, I like Shane. That was how Speaks was like, I missed you.
I did.
Like, he sounded surprised that he missed me. I was like, oh, thanks, buddy. But we haven't talked about this draft.
Wait, I missed that. Lawrence said he liked me?
Yeah, he liked you, but he had a little bit of a surprise. But he did. It was genuine. He said he genuinely likes you and likes spending time with you.
Wow. And I reported that you had mentioned in the pre-show meeting that you had a good time with Lawrence on Saturday.
Yeah, Lawrence was the first one to call it out on air before that the person I am outside of being on the show is not the person I actually am. And I think people are starting to realize that now. I'm a really sweet boy.
But I like you on the air, too. So I don't know what that says about me.
Which one do you like better, Danny? That'll say a lot about you.
Oh, Shane showing up unannounced to the house with a full chicken and vegetable dish, two like aluminum trays worth of food, not even like coming in and saying hello, like was welcome to, but just dropped off the food and bounced. Super classy gesture. Drove up to the house. So, you know, he's a great guy.
What else do people like about me?
That was it. Man, take what you can get.
We all said the one thing we liked about you.
And no, Shane, I was telling him how you were the celeb. Like, you were the celebrity of the Sox game on Saturday.
I think it's just because I go so often.
I don't think that's how the chefs from the White Sox come down and say hello.
You got a food thing, and you talk about their food a lot. You always go to the big food reveal when they do it. You tweet pictures. You talk about it.
We had a good time. It was fun out there on Saturday.
Yeah, Tanny came back with some sausage and peppers and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, good guy.
It was a good time. It was a good group.
Tanny trying to show the morning mess people how to eat food at the cell. He bought 4 sausage and peppers to pass out to people.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gumball head too.
And some gumball heads. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than what he did when we had the show outing and the tailgate, and he just disappeared and was just gone for good.
Well, you did that too.
Oh yeah, good point.
Yeah, you both left me there.
Yeah, it's true.
He's learned the Mitchie shuffle from the best,
from the king himself.
So yeah, we're catching up today, Lawrence. No guests, just the mob reunited. It feels so good. Cannot wait to get into this draft that I think is fascinating, and got my first big disagreement with the new Bears boss. So we'll start there.
Sounds like a show, boys. I'll see you tomorrow.